We heard in Cian McCormack's report earlier, we have lived through a pandemic year that few could have imagined. More than 200,000 people here have caught COVID-19 in the past 12 months. 4,271 lives have been lost. Swathes of the economy have been shut down, homeschooling, third waves. And yet, vaccines are bringing hope. There are already signs the rollout is having an impact and the phased reopening of schools is underway. For more, we're joined by HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid. Paul Reid, good morning to you.
Good morning, Anya.
It has been a year like no other, particularly for health staff and those on the front line. And 15 of those who died, of course, were healthcare workers. But the hope, already vaccines making an impact. Tell us about that.
Yes, Anya, I think you're correct. It is the one light that we all have to get the wind behind us for this year and for the rest of the year. But we, you know, everything we're doing is based on supply. But from the supply that we're getting, we're delivering every element of that supply in any given week. So we had been just over 40,000 per week. Based on supply now, we're administering 80,000 last week. And again, on supply this week, we'll be over 100,000 vaccinations completed this week. And as you know, as we head into the second quarter, we are expecting supplies to increase. We're certainly in April, we're up to being able to do over 1 million a month. So, and all the good indications of the vaccination, the outcomes, particularly in nursing homes, particularly with elder people, and particularly with our frontline healthcare workers who have had an exhausting and really challenging year. All the early indications are really strong, so it's given us all great hope.
In terms of when supplies do start to ramp up from April and that target of, what is it, roughly 250,000 people a week, what about the numbers of vaccinators to do that? Will they all be in place in time?
Yeah, we've put a lot of preparation plans in place, both in terms of the various locations that it will happen. So we've already been through the long-term care facilities, primarily with healthcare staff. Vaccinations have completed for GPs, who are now key in our programme of vaccinating the over 70s for now. And along with that, we have a significant recruitment campaign for people who will be working in our qualified, people who will be working in our vaccination, almost 40 vaccination centres all across the country. We've now about 6,500 people trained in terms of vaccination programme. We have a national recruitment campaign going on where we've almost 1,000 applications to date. And locally, the regional healthcare teams are recruiting as well. So significant ramped up plans to have the vaccination centres ready, to have the resourcing ready, to have the resourcing trained. And what we have seen over the past few weeks, and indeed this week, is the use of the vaccination centres. So the likes of the Helix last week in DCU, 1,000 of the over 85 years vaccinated with over 100 GPs. And this weekend in Cork and indeed in Galway, two more vaccination centres running. So they're giving us a really great insight into how these will work, and up to 5,000 people a day vaccinated in these centres.
So you can reassure people that as the supplies do become more widely available from April, you'll have the people and the systems in place to get those vaccines into people's arms.
Well, we've been working night and day, Anya, to make all of these preparations in place. This is a great motivational issue for us and the healthcare teams and for healthcare staff to be working on something really positive for our GPs, the work with the IMO and the ICGP. Everybody has galvanised behind this programme and working round the clock 7 days a week to make all the preparations in place. And to date, we have delivered, and we're right now in an exciting phase of vaccinating the over 70s at the moment.
In all that good news, though, close contacts are up, movement is up, numbers not where we had hoped, in all honesty, we would be at the end of February. You were warning yesterday, if people aren't careful, this could take off again.
Yeah, I was trying to make the point because, we've had, many people have made huge sacrifices throughout this year. Your clips have been covering, people have lost their jobs, people have worried about their businesses. Families have taken huge sacrifices, and particularly since December and January and into February, the sacrifice people have made. And my main call is that we don't lose everything that we've done. We've made huge progress. Every one of the indicators are going in the right direction, including hospitalizations and ICU numbers. But it is still at a very high base that's concerning. So when you're at 5% positivity levels, when 2/3 of our positive cases every week are from close contacts, when we know that our testing for last week alone The positivity rate of close contacts is at 25%. So one in four testing positive. And if it's in a household, it's 35%. So my main call to people was we're at this difficult phase where weather's picking up. We all want to be out and about. But what we are seeing is increased mobility and increasing numbers of people moving between homes. And we can see the virus spread from one home to another, sometimes with younger people, but not always with younger people. And that's a kind of flag of concern for everybody, because we know the transmission levels of this variant. And if it was to turn at the base level we're at, you know, it could be very risky for us. So my main call is it's very hard, but if we stick with this, we will be in really good shape to get out of this wave as soon as possible.
Schools, more reopening on Monday. What extra supports and contact tracing are in place now compared to before to help make sure they stay open?
Yeah, well, I think it's giving everybody a great bit of hope, as you said in your open clip, for parents, guardians, and for society generally to see our school children back. We will be working through a number of processes that we had in place the last time. We've been working very closely with the Department of Education. So we'd have a set of joint teams. There's about 50 inspectors from the Department of Education working with our public health teams. We have our plans in place to do, wherever positive cases emerge, that we would do mass testing in any location or any school setting that it happens in. For a rapid turnaround of those results for public health teams to give the advice immediately. And also the communications that we will do and are doing, and particularly in relation to people leaving children to school, and to be really conscious that the mixing, you know, before school and the way at school, or indeed after school, is actually the real risk. It's proven that the risk is not specifically as the children are in school. But particularly with this variant, it's the mixing at the school, at the school gate, or sharing transport. All those things are the higher risk, and we'd be strongly encouraging people to avoid all of that and really stick to, let's keep your children in school.
Because there were some concerns before, weren't there, when schools were open, from some parents saying, you know, the response wasn't as fast as they had hoped. We heard that from some principals as well. You're happy it's going to be, if you like, more prompt now?
Well, I think overall, I think it did work really well. I mean, what we saw, and particularly with positivity levels, we did make some changes along the way. We did put enhanced teams in place. Our public health teams, you know, they should have some relief now, thankfully, because of the outbreaks are reducing in nursing homes, are reducing in generally in the community. So, you know, it gives them at least some extra capacity to work with the schools and the way they have done.
Nursing home visits, how soon can we have hope about those resuming? And how?
Yeah, well, it seems to be the morning that we all want to grasp on the hope, and why shouldn't we? We've had a tough year. From our perspective, there is very good news in terms of the vaccination effectiveness, both for residents and indeed staff. And, you know, for that awful year, these are people's homes that the residents are living in, and they've had a tough year. So I've asked the Chief Clinical Officer, Dr. Colm Henry, and some of the rest of our team to assess this now over the next couple of weeks and to work with NPHET and see what's possible in terms of reducing. I would like to see us reducing the restrictions in nursing homes. I know Nursing Homes Ireland would like it as well. The one caution, just a cautious how we look at this, is we always know, or we have experienced, that this virus has a tendency to outmaneuver every plan we put in place. And we have had significant, unfortunately, deaths and mortality in nursing homes. And, you know, this variant and other variants we have to be cautious with. But ultimately, I think we have to try reap some of the benefits that we've seen in a very cautious way.
There's a lot of talk, as we were hearing from Tony Connolly, in Europe at the moment, about this issue of vaccine passports. That's going to depend, of course, isn't it, on the IT system, on the records that you have about who's been vaccinated and not. Is that all up and running and fit to meet those demands?
Yeah, there's two aspects to this, and I know you covered it earlier. The first aspect is obviously a policy area, whichever way our government decides or EU decides. That wants to be utilised. From an IT perspective, we would have specified this out as an early part of our design of the system. We're putting in place with vaccinations. We're working with the Office of Government Chief Information Officer as well as the HSE. We've done a pilot of a number of certificates that we would produce for healthcare staff in terms of what the design might look like, what details we might find beneficial on it. So it is specified into our design system. We believe we can turn this around. But, you know, ultimately we'll await the policy decisions from government. But it is a key feature of all European rollouts to have this facility available.
And people with underlying conditions, finally, Paul Reid, do you have a list? Do you know who they are? Because, you know, a lot of people might be worried. Am I on the right list?
Yeah, and look, we welcome the decision, the recommendations by the National Immunisation Advisory Committee. In fact, many of their recommendations, so our own consultants and clinicians would have been representing their patients who are at particularly high risk. So NIAC would have identified a proportion of people who would be at high risk and then a smaller proportion who would be at very high risk. So what we've been doing in the last few days since that recommendation came out is, first of all, identifying the particular very high risk category. We think it's somewhere around 40,000, but we have to identify all of those. That's a process we're working through between our clinical teams in our hospitals and also our, you know, community areas as well. So those very high risk ones we want to identify. Then we want to model out the delivery of the vaccine types for those groups and just look at the supply lines and when we commence and finish each of those groups. And then thirdly, as part of that, what's the appropriate location or healthcare setting for that vaccination to complete, because they are complex cases. Right. In some cases, it'll be a hospital. In some cases, maybe a GP.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for your time and for filling us in on all of that this morning. That's Paul Reid, the Chief Executive of the HSE.